My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He served as Vice Chief of Staff for the Air Force, as well as Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces Europe. He also held command positions in the Pacific. We want to get his thoughts on North Korea reportedly conducting a successful test of an intercontinental ballistic missile, which could not only reach North Korea's neighbors, but even the United States. And General, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, how concerned should we be here? We obviously have seen Kim Jong-un ratchet up the number of tests, ratchet up the saber rattling, and now it appears that the technology is more competent. So is he just trying to see how far he can go and test the mettle of the Trump administration here? Or is this a guy who's ready to use this thing?
He is a man who is unstable enough that if he ever got a nuclear ICBM that could reach the United States, that we must fully respect that, understand it, and it is unacceptable to us as Americans that we could have North Korea being able to put U.S. cities at risk. So it's unacceptable, and we must do everything we can. I can lay out options for you to preclude that happening.
We'll get to those options in just a moment. General, I remember just a few years ago, we were making jokes most of the time about the competence or lack of competence when it came to the missile technology of the North Koreans. A lot of them tended to come off the launch pad looking like wet noodles rather than serious threats, but it appears that they've gotten their act together to some extent here in the last couple of years. How surprised are you at what appears to be their competence on this?
Well, I am surprised. But he has launched 83 missiles since he has been in. His grandfather had launched 15, and his father had launched 16. So he has launched and tested more missiles than both his grandfather and father. And they have been getting help from the Iranians. They have been getting help from the Chinese. As a matter of fact, the launcher and the one yesterday, or on the third, was a launch from a Chinese missile launcher. And so he's been getting a lot of help. I believe he means business, and we need to start taking some very active measures to close him down.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. And General, in recent months, we've seen one successful U.S. missile defense test and then another one that apparently was not successful. So, in your estimation, how prepared are we for an unanticipated ICBM coming from North Korea?
We are at risk. That's all I can say, Greg. We are at risk.
And just to follow up on that, nobody likes to point fingers too much, but obviously missile defense was more of a priority in certain administrations than others. So have we had significant setbacks in recent years, or are we still at about the technology we would have had anyway?
No, we've had setbacks because the administration, clearly the Obama administration, was not interested in pursuing an aggressive missile defense capability, as he was not interested in getting the North Koreans to slow their program down. So we have not had much help in this dangerous area for the last 8 years. That's why we are where we are, and the president is in a very dangerous position, and we've got to start taking some actions that I really want to talk to you about.
Well, let's get into that right now, then. What is the right deterrence? You mentioned some options. You've got a lot of the long-term career foreign policy people saying, you know, sanctions is the way to go. Other people saying you got to go after the Chinese banks. They're the ones who are funding all of this. What do you think would be most effective?
All of the above and more. Let me say the courses of action that we should be taking, Greg.
Okay.
Number one, increase the diplomatic pressure on China and Russia by the global community starting this Friday with President Trump's visit to Germany. And we ought to be moving out on that. Next, we've got to increase the economic sanctions, which you mentioned, on China and Russia and other nations that are doing business with North Korea. And I mean very tough sanctions, Greg. Under Obama, we did virtually nothing but talk, which is why we're here now. This is the most important effort, I believe, that's sanctions, that can at least bring them down to their knees. If we are serious in China will be the ones that are going to lose the most. So they will know that we mean business. Now, we then need to go in and be doing simultaneously the military options. Both, I'm going to give you both conventional and nuclear. First, we got to build up the forces in WestPac to include more air power, our latest aircraft, the F-22s, F-35s, B-2 stealth aircraft, and increase the production of the MOAB, you know, that's the mother of all bombs,
right,
and the MOP, which is a 30,000-pound bomb, which is a massive ordnance penetrator, and cruise missiles. I would make sure immediately that those production capabilities are doubled, and I'd send a clear signal that we mean business. We need to build up the marine amphibious forces in the Western Pacific, out around Okinawa. We need to build up some of the ground forces, but the South Koreans have a very capable ground force, so we don't need as many U.S. Army forces there. We need to build up the THAAD forces. You were talking about THAAD in South Korea. By having President, that's the Theater Air High Altitude Air Defense Capability, that President Moon has got on a hold right now for an environmental study. And we've got to get that changed right away to show we mean business. And we've got to build up our naval forces to include at least two carriers, and I believe we need three, as well as both missile defense forces, talking about the seaborne THAAD capabilities, as well as cruise missile capabilities. They are extremely important. Now, what we ought to start doing is talk discussions with redeploying theater nuclear forces in both South Korea as well as Japan. Japan will be a heavier lift, but South Korea will not. We pulled out under Bush 41 the theater nuclear forces in Korea. I'd put them back in, and then I'd start negotiating with the Japanese, for instance, to talk about Okinawa, to move nuclear forces back there and bed them down. We need to build up our nuclear armed forces at Guam, the bombers. Then we've got to start talking to both the South Koreans and the Japanese. Again, the Japanese is a heavier lift. But start the discussions on a program like we have in NATO, where we have in certain countries, those nations are sitting alert on U.S. nuclear weapons. In other words, they are participating in the nuclear deterrent forces there. I would also consider forming the Pacific Area Treaty Organization. That is, say we'd get South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, and others, Thailand, to be members of a NATO-like force in the Pacific and let the Chinese know that we are busy. Now, that's going to take, and serious about this. This will be a huge political step for the United States and our allies, but will clearly, as I mentioned, show the North Koreans and the Chinese that we mean business.
General, let's say that the Trump administration embraced most or even all of what you just laid out there. How long would it take for us to be in position to have those resources in place?
Well, I think we have a year. I mean, when you build up and you have 150 ships marshaling off of Okinawa, because, you know, Pyongyang is only 35 miles from the Yellow Sea. They are very vulnerable. And coming in from Wonsan, it means they cannot penetrate down through the south. You know, there are three attack corridors into South Korea. One is Kaesan, Munsan on the west coast. In the center, there's a valley called Chorwan, and then on the east coast. But they're very narrow areas coming through that can be plugged up like wine bottles with a cork. And you don't have the tactical surprise that you would like, but he must know that we have amphibious forces and that we can go north and envelop him, as we did during the Korean War when we had the Incheon invasion. Now, he's got 12,000 artillery tubes over there just north of the DMZ and 2,300 multiple launch rocket sites. We know the exact coordinates because when I was the Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and Intelligence for Pacific Air Forces many years ago, I saw them building them. But that's before we had GPS, Greg. Now we know the exact positions. For instance, one B-2 can drop 8,500-pound bombs with a GPS warhead, guidance rather, and take out 80 of those artillery sites right away. A MOAD could probably, with its dimensions and going off, could knock out 50 artillery sites at once, perhaps. Now, we don't want to do this, but he has to know that with the modern technology that we have, that we can target these hardened artillery sites and where we will have continuous intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance like Global Hawk and Reapers and Predators and all that ISR capability, that if they try to move anything or do anything, we know exactly where they are. Now, they need to know we mean business, and if we have to, we will use the full conventional and nuclear retaliatory capabilities of the United States against this threat.
Last topic, sir. You've already been very generous with your time. How significant is it that China actually collaborated with this latest missile launch? And given what you've laid out there with a possible military presence, how do you calculate what China might do if we have to do something?
China is hoping that we cave and we do a few things. But hope is not a strategy. This president cannot put U.S. cities at risk, Greg. And although the military option is the worst one, because I think the economics can have such an impact on China that she'll get the word. But either way, we have no choice. And no president can survive having nuclear weapons from North Korea hit U.S. cities, let alone from anywhere, but clearly from North Korea. This is very serious business. And because we had not only Obama, but President Bush and Clinton before him, they all pushed the can down the road. And that's why we are where we are, where it can no longer be pushed.
Sobering, to say the least, sir, but we really appreciate your expertise and your insights on what might be necessary to stop this threat. Thank you, sir, very much for your time, as always.
Thanks, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney served as Vice Chief of Staff for the U.S. Air Force, as well as Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces Europe. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.